诸位菩萨早安啊，阿弥陀佛。今天
美文，
今天早上现在这个时间呢，是世界杯足球赛，法国跟谁？克罗西亚的世界对决，世纪对决赛。所以我可以想象，这么少人来听，一定是有原因的。
So today, I think at exactly at this time, this is the time for the World Soccer Cup, World Cup of Soccer, the final match between France and Croatia. I guess that's why there's not much people coming, or then people coming.
你们有在看吧这个世界杯没有？
有。Are you all watching the World Cup?
有人看哦。
Yes, some of them, some of you watch the World
Cup. 没有关系。我们今天呢，印光大师呢讲的主题是印光大师，比这个世界杯哦重要的多了。为什么？为什么呢？你们说为什么
？But today's topic actually is about Master 印光. It's actually much more important than World Cup. Do you know why？
哎，老菩萨，你们不知道吗？印光大师你们都认识吧？
So have you all heard of Master 印光? Do you all know about his story in lifetime?
太好了，你们都不知道，我今天就来介绍印光大师他的伟大 的地方。
So today we're going to introduce this great master to you, his lifetime, his practice, story, etc.
然后为什么他比今天的世界杯足球赛更重要？
And,
对你们而言，对我们而言。
And then you'll understand why I say that today's talk about Master 印光is much more important than the World Cup to your practice. Yeah, to our practice.
好，我今天要先介绍一下那个印光大师。我们有几个段落，大概是先开始讲一下他的生平，然后讲他的高僧，他的行仪有什么令人感动的地方。还有他最重要的一些文钞，他后传下来的文钞集，还有他的提倡的修行方法，以及他对中国佛教的贡献，还有就是贡献跟影响，还有跟结语，然后分这个几个段落哦。
So today's talk will break down to a few parts. First, we'll introduce Master 印光's lifetime story, his biography, and then talk about his conduct and spirit.And then we'll introduce his writings, we'll select a few important writings of him to explain. And then we'll introduce the methods, his methods of practice. And then in the end, we'll talk about his influence and contributions to Chinese Buddhism.
因为我讲的是近代的高僧嘛，那上次讲的是虚云老和尚。那我们在讲说虚云老和尚就像虚空中的云哦，有哪里有需要就他就去哪里，然后重建的是禅宗的主题，然后恢复佛教。那印光大师跟虚云老和尚有什么不一样的地方呢？
So last time, during this my series talks of great monks in Chinese modern history, last time I talked about Master Empty Cloud.Just like the name Empty Cloud, Master Empty Cloud is like the cloud. Whenever there's a need, he will go there. And he, as I mentioned, he rebuilt many temples throughout China. So compared to Master Empty Cloud, what is different about Master 印光?
那印光大师呢，他就像大地磐石一样。为什么我们说形容他叫大地磐石呢？因为他常年安住于普陀山法语寺，专修净业净土，一生念佛。所以就像《法华经》上面说的，在于闲处修摄其心，安住不动，如须弥山。
Oh, Master, compared to Master Empty Cloud, Master 印光 is more like a rock on the earth because.He dedicated his practice to chanting Buddha's name, mostly stayed in Fa Yu Temple in Mountain Putuo. Just like the Lotus Sutra has says, stay in one place, collect one's mind, and settle one's mind just like a rock.
那印光大师呢，身体力行做好出家的本分事，是乱世之中众人崇敬依赖的大善之事。他大力鼓吹哦，鼓励老师念佛。他常常自称为惭愧僧。
So Master Yin Guang not only wrote and preached Dharma, he also embodied the Dharma himself. He practiced really very diligently, strictly, and do his part really well. So during that time, he was really looked up by a lot of people as good knowing advisor. And Master Yin Guang promote practice with most earnestness and sincerity, and just use the simplest method of chanting Buddha's name. And he often referred himself as an ever ashamed monk to remind himself to often repent.
那他在法语寺跟在灵岩山寺的官房之中呢，有一个死字贴在他的额头上面，我们来提醒他老实念佛。我们来看一下，这是慈悯菩萨他去参访的时候，他提供的照片给我看的。
So in his the solitary room in the temple 灵岩山寺 and the temple of 法语 temple, there's a big Chinese character death put on his room. So I'll show you a picture where. So I'll show the picture later. You can see.
That we're going to see is the Yin Guang Master. He in留下来的文钞上面，他的书信弘法跟留下的文钞表现出来他对老实修行的始终如一。那我们待会就来介绍这位大师的怎么样老实修行哦。
So throughout the talk, we will show how Master Yin Guang really embody his preach of practice with most earnestness and sincerity.And throughout his lifetime.
那我们要讲他的生平是怎么样呢？他的名字叫圣亮慧哦，就是名号，然后字印光哦，然后别号叫常惭愧僧。大家都有听过这个常惭愧僧吗？哈。
So Master Yin Guang's Dharma name is 圣亮，meaning with sagely capacity.His courtesy name is Yin Guang, and his style name is the Ever Ashamed Monk.
那他从小呢，就随着他的兄长啊，读儒学的书，读儒学嘛，儒学是中国传统文化的一种代表，所以他就以儒学就把他是世界上最好的学问哦，就是每次。很深入在研究，跟欧阳修、韩愈在辟佛，就是批评佛教有非常，他觉得就是有比较嘛，哈，他觉得崇尚儒学就批评佛教，大力批评佛教。
So, when Master Yin Guang was young, he mostly studied the Confucius classics and with his elder brother.And because in history, some Confucius scholars criticized Buddhism, such as scholar Han Yun and Ouyang Xiu in history. So because they value Confucianism over Buddhism, they naturally criticize Buddhism a lot.
然后呢，他在批评佛教没多久，他就生了重病，病了很久。然后在病的时候呢，他就发现了一本书呢，叫什么？ 他发现了还没有发现一本书之前呢，他就觉得病得那么重，他就痛改前非哦，就开始洗心革面了。后来他的出家因缘成熟之后呢，他就在21岁的时候呢，就去终南山的五台莲花洞寺出家了。
So because in when he was young, he studied Confucian classics and followed the criticism of the Confucianists to the Buddhism. He got really sick. When he got really sick, he started to reflect on his words and conduct and start to realize what was wrong and repent thoroughly. And when the condition ripened, he became a monk at the age of 21 at the Lotus Cave Temple in Wutai in Mountain Zhongnan.
那印光大师他有个非常特别的事情哦，他从小一出生6个月，他的眼睛就生病了。他几乎有6个月是出生6个月之后，他有6个月是几乎是失明的，是没有办法看见任何东西的。
So there was something interesting about him that when he was born, after six months, he got some illness in his eyes and he almost turned blind for 6 months.
那经过这六个月，以为他这一辈子就是失明了，看不见东西。后来呢，就好了。好了之后呢，他眼睛的视力非常的薄弱，哦，非常薄弱。可是还是勉强可以看书读书，要不然他怎么能够研究儒学呢？哦。
Although he recovered from such illness, that really affected his eyesight. But he was able to read and see. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to study the Confucius classics.
之后呢，我们说他21岁出家，对不对？隔年呢，是隔年嘛？26岁的时候，隔年他就去受具足戒了。他去受具足戒的时候呢，就担任这个戒堂里面所有的文书。文书是需要花眼睛的哦，要花很多视力跟誊写一些受戒场里面的大小小小的事情。结果他在填写的时候呢，怎么样？得到一本书，得到一本什么书呢？因为写字过多，他的眼睛充血嘛，就是眼睛如血一样。幸好他在湖北莲花寺担任造客的时候呢，在赛经的时候得到一本残本叫《龙书净土文》，然后知道念佛往生净土的法门，就是了生脱死的方法。所以他就了解这个眼睛这个病呢，其实就是身体，他就明白到说这个身体就是苦的根本。所以那时候呢，他就做什么？他无时就是闲的时候呢，有空闲的时候就专心念佛，然后等到夜晚全部僧众都睡觉的时候呢，他起身念佛，写字的时候呢也是在念佛，心都没有离开佛号。所以他虽然奋力，就是他非常努力在写，在戒场里面写非常多的那个文字哦，还可以勉强支持。等到这个写字完毕全部都结束之后呢，他的眼睛也好了。所以他就从这个知道念佛的功德不可思议，这时候他就开始以念佛以净土为依归，作为他以后的修行用功的主要的法门。
So after he became a monk, he received he was ordained at the age of 26 in the temple of Lianhua, and during his ordination, he took on the responsibility of all the writing assignments. So because, doing all the writing assignments, he needed to use his eyesight, and his eyes were strained, was full of, the blood vessels was all strained, and the red eyes were turned red, triggered his eye illnesses. During that time, it was such a special occasion that he came across upon a book where he realized that he should chant Buddha's names. And he also realized through his eye illness that the root suffering is the suffering of the body itself, take the body itself and suffer through the body. So he started to chant Buddha's name very diligently. When other people go to sleep, he would continue chanting Buddha's name, and when he performed his writing duties, he would still continue to chant Buddha's name. And miraculously, his eye disease were killed during that time. So he started to realize chanting Buddha's name is really a very special and a powerful method, and he started to dedicate to use this method.
然后印光大师他这时候开始专修净土了嘛，然后他听到红罗山呢，红罗山的知福寺呢是专修净土的道场，所以他在26岁的时候呢，就告辞他的师父，然后就去红罗山知福寺去进那个堂啊，念佛堂去用功了。
Because Master Yin Guang at that time had already decided just to use chanting Buddha's name exclusively as his method. So one time after he heard that the Zifu Temple on Mount Honglo is specialized on the Pure Land practice, he told his master and he went there.
然后在那段时间呢，他的那个净土的资粮哦，也是净土的资粮，他自己写净业大净，就是他对念佛净土这个法门呢非常的有信心哦。
And during that time, at his time in Zifu Temple, he made a lot of progress and generated great faith in this method.
然后从知府山回来之后呢，他做什么呢？他有三年时间就在知福寺呢深入经藏，开始研究大乘经典，然后所有的事情就开始，他这里写是理事无碍哦，三年。
So he spent 3 years in Zifu Temple and studied a lot of Mahayana sutras and commentaries. And in the end, he said he thoroughly understands all the principles and the examples in the sutra.
那他在33岁之年去了普陀山法语寺阅藏，然后这里面他在里面有进了两期哈，他在进了两期闭关，总共是6年，花了6年的时间闭关哦。
Then he went to the Fa Yu Temple, in Putuo. The Fa Yu Temple also can be translated as Dharma Rain Temple. He spent 6 years in solitary retreat there in total.
他在法语寺哦，进修几乎30几年，是在30几年期间，他都一直在用功，没有。专修嘛，吼，所以他就一直没有在对外弘法。
He practiced reclusively at the Fa Yu Temple for over 30 years, and during those years, he didn't come out to receive other people's or give talks. He just focused intensive practice himself.
那印光大师他的为人非常的低调，我们现在说法低调，就是说他不喜欢与人来往，也不愿人家知道他什么名字，所以他只希望说一夜的弥陀，就是能够早证念佛三昧。
So Master Yin Guang, the way he deal with things in today's term is called very low key. He doesn't like to put himself out in the dim light. limelight or receive a lot of attention. He just want to practice diligently and achieve the samadhi by chanting Buddha's names.
但是呢，这里写的很有意思，这里写说，寺院里面有，宫廷里面是不是有钟鼓吼？我说钟鼓它在响的时候呢，会不会被听见？会哦，它这书上怎么形容它？就是形容它像宫廷里面的钟鼓一样哦，你响呢，就会人家就会听得到了哈。在民国的时候呢，民国纪元，在印光大师52岁的时候呢，有位高鹤年居士，他就取了拿了几篇印光大师的文稿，然后刊在什么《上海佛学丛报》，他的署名叫常禅，就是常常惭愧那个禅哦，常禅。然后虽然人家都不知道他是谁，但是他的文字般若就可以引发读者的善根。
So just like you have a good bell and drum in the palace, it's very hard to not hear that if it's really good. So when Master Yin Guang, even though he was very low key, when he turned 52, there was a lay practitioner named Gao He Nian. He took a few writings of Master Yin Guang and published in a Buddhist paper in Shanghai, and named the author is called Ever Ashamed, and no one knows who it is, but the writing was so good, and just merely by reading the articles itself will trigger a lot of good roots in people.
接着呢，在57岁的时候，有个徐蔚如居士啊，跟他的朋友写了三封，不是三封信，三书哦，就是往返三次的书信哦，然后印行叫什么，就是印制的印光法师文钞，就是得了20几篇印光大师的文稿，他文稿很难得的，他很少写的，得了20几篇之后，他就把它编成一本小册子，叫印光大师文钞。
And then when a year later, when Master Yin Guang turned 57, there was another lay Buddhist practitioner called Xu Weiru, and he and his friend, because they corresponded with Master Yin Guang, so they got about 20 pieces of Master Yin Guang's writings and articles. So they published, they collect these his writings and published it.Named the collected writings of Master Venerable Yin Guang.
这个上面这一本哦，就是印光大师文钞的精华录哦，是这一本。它有些续编，那这个是它的精华。这是我很久很久以前还没这几乎是在出家的第一年，我就偶尔拿到这本书，所以我一直保存到现在。这里面非常的好哈，可以大家如果有因缘的话，可以。去拿来参考，找在这本书拿来参考看看。然后这本书里面呢，印光大师文钞精华录里面，他提倡什么呢？他的书信弘法提倡敦伦敬分的在家佛教，使得持名念佛的法门呢，能够深植在乱世人心，并影响至今哦。因为中国在近代的中国里面，在明末清末明初的时候，是中国整个百年来大动乱的那段时间，人心非常的惶惑，所以他在那边提倡念佛，也提倡在家佛教的一个非常重要的一位大师哦。
So I came across the essential writings of Master Yin Guang, this book when I just shaved my head.Year after year, just my head. So I really cherish this book, and I think it has all the essential writings of Master Yin Guang. It was really good. If you ever had a chance to read it, please do. And in his essential writings, he promoted the name recitation practice, Buddha's name recitation practice, and especially important during the time when China was in war and was very chaotic. There were a lot of sufferings at that time.
那这本书呢，印光应该说印光大师他所提倡的是什么呢？在里面书里面他说，世风日下，如果不提倡因果报应呢，不足以挽回颓废的风气，然后而能够矫正人的心哦。好，这个，然后他说呢，人根呢，人的根气非常的低劣哦。如果没有实行信愿念佛，绝不能了生死而出轮回。
So in his writings, he point out, he really promote that people to focus on emphasize the law of cause and effect, because without understanding and implementing the law of cause and effect, there's not enough means to save the society going down and rectify people's minds. And only by practicing faith and vows can one save the mind from degrading to the three destitutes.
所以呢，在印光大师他有所有的人来向印光大师请法的时候呢，他不拘你的贵贱贤愚哦，就是不分你的尊卑老幼哈、哦。所以他每次如果有人请意的话，就是用诸恶莫作，众善奉行，还有因果报应、生死轮回的实事实理，然后来启迪所有的人哦。
So no matter who ask him for teachings, whether the wealthy or people with high status or low status, or high capacity or low capacity, when people ask him for teachings, he always replies with the emphasis on law of cause and effect, emphasize the sufferings from life and death, ask people to recite Buddha's names and practice earnestly.
那我们接下来讲他的行仪哦，他的行仪，他的精神，我们在讲说印光精神，他有什么样精神呢？可以让我们这样子的来学习呢？他的事迹里面，他告诉我们，他一生只做好一件事情，那他是什么？你说他是什么？
So,
叫做老实修行。
So next we'll talk about what that really inspired people by Master Yin Guang's conduct and spirit. That, you know, his spirit is really embodied in just to do one thing really well during one's lifetime. So what was he referring to, that do one thing? That is practice wholeheartedly with earnestness and sincerity.
我们说我们年纪都有点不小，对不对？我们一生有没有做好一件事情？哦，你们一生做好一件事情，举例来讲啦，哈，我们他印光大师一生做好一件事情就是什么？老实修行，老实念佛。那我们回到我们日常生活里面好了，那你一次有没有做好一件事情？还是一次做很多件事情都没有做好？
So just do one thing really well at one time. Well, have you ever tried to see if you can implement just one occasion? Let's say, do you really put all your heart into one thing at one time, or are you multitasking, but at the same time, will not achieve all the things that you were doing?
今天呢，我们分享印光大师的这个一生做好一件事情之后呢，我们回去延伸一下。可以让我们自己练习一下日常生活里面齁，我们一次在一个时间之内做好一件事情，可以吗？可以齁。然后呢，慢慢的渐渐的可以学习什么一生做好一件事情。
So today we learned from Master Yin Guang that just do one thing really well during one's lifetime, we can start our practice bydoing one thing at one time really well, and then gradually we will be able to dedicate to one thing during our lifetime.
那他这样子老实的修行的这种 精神呢是怎么样能够涵养出他的人格特质。我们接下来介绍一下印光大师的人格特质。
So, how does his character reflects his spirit of practice with earnestness and sincerity? So next, we'll just talk about his characters.
印光大师呢，他晚了虚老和尚20年才出生哦，哦，20年哦。那同样的，他在面对中国当时的国难当前，还有身重。刚气不振，然后佛教衰微的乱世之中，他选择不同的一条路。他选什么路呢？刚刚说他什么大地磐石嘛，所以他就安住在一个地方，老实的念佛。是哈、哦，他在法语寺待了30几年，不求名闻。
So Master Yin Guang was born 20 years late than Master Xu Yun. And during that time, during his lifetime, it was a time very difficult for China during the wartime, and also there was also decline in Chinese Buddhism, a severe decline in Chinese Buddhism. Facing those difficult realities, Master Yin Guang chose a very different path from Master Xu Yun. That is, he would shy away from fame and position, but stay in one place just like a rock to practice.
然后印光大师呢，他一生不收徒弟，也不成立僧团，他的个性呢刚正不阿，他是如说行，就是如是修行，如说修行的人。然后他不眼高手低，老实念佛，他在佛学的造诣上面不卖弄学问，不凸显了，不刻意凸显自己的修持所得，这样子的务实的人格特质，在我们现在这个世界上，非常的难能可贵，而且更显得珍贵。
And he didn't accept any disciples, and didn't form any sangha during his lifetime. He just practiced as instructed by the sutra.And he never bragged about his practice or achievements or attainments, even though his attainments was really high. And all these qualities in his characters were very precious.
那圣严法师呢，我们师父呢，他怎么样去他说呢，印光大师呢的卓越贡献呢，是以书信的方式，诚挚的用语，化导当时的知识分子信佛跟念佛。他在另外一个正见法师所著的印光大师的生平与思想中所写的序，曾经这样子的写。
And our founder Master Shen Yan praised Master Yin Guang, saying that Master Yin Guang used his writings and words to deliver sentient beings, especially intellectuals at that time.
然后另外一本书呢，也是在于林波先生他著作的《中国近代佛门人物志》里面，他在评价印光大师中，他说文超的影响力除了是印光大师的文字字字见地，还有字字归宗深入浅出之外呢，主要是印光大师的身体力行、老实念佛的精神感召的世人。
And another person also pointed out that the reason Master Yin Guang had a great influence and contribution to Chinese Buddhism was because not only he wrote and taught Buddhism, he embodied and carried out himself as well as example, set up example for people to follow.
然后印光大师呢，这里他的老实精神呢，透露出什么样呢？他是说呢，他回忆他自己过去呢，生长在儒家文化的环境当中，以弘扬儒家圣贤之学为己任，然后在出家之前受的韩愈、欧阳修辟佛的思想，就是批评佛教的思想呢，他的言论也比一般的读书人狂妄百倍。所以呢，他就说他出家前不是介绍过了嘛，就曾经生病了嘛， 出家之后反省过去之后，深感到自己的狂妄无知，所以升起了很大的惭愧心，彻底的忏悔。
For example, just we mentioned earlier, before he became a monk, he was very diligently studying Confucius classics and to follow the Confucius scholars to criticize Buddhism. But, and then he got really sick. And then he realized how wrong he was and how arrogant he was. So he gave rise to the mind of repentance and repent thoroughly and earnestly.
所以印光大师强调自我反省是入道学佛的关键。他曾经在他的文钞书上面呢勉励一位女居士，他说烦恼跟疾病的种种视线都可以作为学佛的因缘，但是如果不能彻底反省，就算你学问再好，见地再怎么卓越，就像朱熹、王阳明、陶渊明、陆游等人一样，无法了脱生死。
So Master Yin Guang really emphasized the ability to reflect on one's own words and deeds, and he viewed it as a crucial step to enter into Buddhism or Buddhist studies. And in his letter to a lay practitioner, he mentioned that vexations and illnesses can be used as a good way to enter into Buddhist practice, but if one was not able to thoroughly reflect on one's own words and deeds and thoughts, even that person has great knowledge about Buddhism or has superior views about Buddhism. Just like a lot of famous people in history, Zhu Xi, Wang Yangming, Tao Yuming, Lu Yu, etc., they were still not able to escape from the cycle of life and death.
他说呢，所以因为不能自省，就变成了进入修道的障碍。所以他说，修道的要修道这么困难，这是难于登天啊。所以他就说，在修道之前，他非常重视这个自我反省，所以他就别署，就是他的别名就常惭愧，常惭愧身就。谨守静坐常思己过，闲谈莫论人非的做人原则，大家都有听过这句话吗？
So because he emphasized so much on self-reflection, he gave himself the name of ever ashamed monk, and often quote is that the phrase that when you meditate and reflect on yourself, you should often reflectyour own fault, and do not discuss the rights and the wrongs of other people, and he used it as a principle to guide his study.
然后呢，他在文钞三编哦，文钞有三编了三次哦，他的卷二里面有写一个给副业被居士的书信，他怎么写呢？他说要往如何能够往生西方极乐世界呢？大家想不想去啊？想好，它有十项条件，哪十项条件呢？来，第一个就是不论在家出家，必须上进下合。上进就是对上要恭敬，对你下面的人要什么和气和顺。
So, in his writings, he pointed out, if you want to go to Western Pure Land or reborn in the Pure Land, there are 10 conditions. And what are they? First, you need to be able to respect the elders and love or be compassionate towards your peer and your subordinates.
那第二点呢是忍耐哦，忍辱。他说呢，要忍人所不能忍，行人所不能行，做人家不能做到的事情，然后忍别人没有办法说忍。
And the second condition is develop the capacity for forbearance. You're being able to endure things that normal people cannot endure and deal with things that normal people cannot deal with.
然后呢，第三个是待人之劳，成人之美。 带别人没有办法做的事情，你帮他做一下。然后成人呢，就是成人之美，怎么翻？你们成人之美，你们都听得懂吗？齁，成人之美。
And the third thing, third condition is, you need to engage things that people cannot achieve, but you can do for them on behalf of them. And when people need help, you will step in to help them and attain things for them.
那第四个就是刚提到静坐常思己过，闲谈莫论人非哦。
And the next one was just, I mentioned,that often reflect on one's own faults and do not discuss rights and wrongs of others.
第五项是行住坐卧穿衣吃饭从早到晚从晚到早一句佛号不令间断不管是小声念或默念除了一句佛号之外不要起别的念头如果你的妄念一起来当下就要叫它消灭然后
And the next condition is, from the morning to the dawn, no matter whether you're sitting, walking, or doing anything, or sleeping, you should always chant, Buddha's name without interruption. So whenever you give rise to a wandering thought, you will immediately let it go and return to the method of chanting Buddha's name.
第六点呢是常生惭愧心及忏悔心。
And the fixed condition is to often repent, often give rise to the mind of repentance.
不好意思，这些没有在 PPT 上面，就在稿子上。那第七项呢，就是说，纵然呢我们有很深厚的功夫哦，所以你有念佛的功夫、禅修功夫都非常的好，但是你要觉得自己功夫。要总觉得自己功夫很浅，不要自夸。
And the seventh condition is, no matter how well you practice, even though you feel that you made really a lot of progress, you should always think that your practice is not deep enough, is still shallow, that you should continue deepen your practice.
然后第八点呢，他讲什么呢？只管自家，不管人家。
And the eighth condition is you should focus on your own business and do not mind others' business.
然后第九点写什么呢？只看好样子，不要看坏样子。
And the ninth condition is you should always focus on the merits of others and learn from them and you should not focus on the wrong shortcomings of others.
那第十项呢？要看一切人都是菩萨，唯我一人确实是凡夫。
And the last condition is when you view others, you should always view others as bodhisattvas. And when you view yourself, you should always view yourself as ordinary sentient beings.
他说呢，如果能够依照这个十项的修行法门呢，你必然可以往生西方极乐世界。
And he said, if you're able to comply with all 10 conditions, meet all 10 conditions, and you will be surely reborn in the Western Pure Land.
诶，这十项看起来蛮容易的嘛，齁。
So what do you think of this 10 conditions? It sounds easy, right?
这感觉真的是蛮容易的嘛，齁。蛮容易的。所以呢，只要做像十项就像过关一样嘛，吼，有十个关卡，你就过了之后，你就可以往生西方极乐世界了。好。
So it's just like a passing through gates. As long as you're able to do these 10 things really well, you will be able to reborn in the Western Pure Land.
然后呢，在印光大师圆寂之后呢，弘一大师，你知道弘一大师跟印光大师交情非常好嘛，吼，好，怎么好呢？好到弘一大师他。谈到自己所体会到印光大师的圣德事项，他觉得他的德恨影响到他的啊，我们一般人也可以学习的哦。第一个呢是什么？习劳。习劳的意思就是说呢，印光大师一生最喜欢自己做劳动的事情，他一个人住，然后呢事事都自己来做，没有侍者来帮助。 帮助他。他到80岁的时候呢，每天的那是自己扫地啊，擦桌子啊，还有擦油灯跟洗衣服。
So Master, another great master at that time, Master Hong Yi, enjoyed a great friendship with Master Yin Guang, and he also looked up to Master Yin Guang as well. He praised Master Yin Guang especially for 4 great virtues, and one of them is that Master Yin Guang always takes care of all labor and chores himself. For example, even when he was very senior, he still sweeping the floor and do all laundries by himself.
第二点，他是媳妇，他对印光大师非常非常注重媳妇这件事情。他的住的哈，他的不管是在穿衣服、吃饭或住的方面，都非常的简单跟粗劣，然后很排斥精美的事情哦。是印光大师，他每天早上只吃一碗粥，大粥没有菜哦。吃完之后呢，他用他的舌头去把那个碗舔到非常非常干净为止。然后如果有人去拜访他呢，如果他客人茶没有喝完冷掉了，把那个茶呢倒在桶子那个倒掉的时候，他就会很严厉的呵斥他。
And second great virtue of Master Yin Guang, pointed out by Master Hong Yi, was that during Master's lifetime, he always very cherished blessings. For example, he usually stay away from fine things and just use very simple stuff. And he only had one congee or porridge, Chinese porridge, every day. Without any other dishes. And after he finished his porridge, he would use his tongue to clean up the bowl and make sure there's nothing, even no bit is wasted. And if there are visitors, and the visitors couldn't drink all the tea, finish up all the tea and throw the cold tea away, he would scold such visitor and saying they're not cherish their blessings enough.
那第三项呢，他是非常重视因果，注重因果。怎么说？他怎么讲？他因果之法呢，是为救国救民的药物哦，所以必须令每一个人都知道，现在有如此的因，将来必会有如此的果，善有善报，恶有恶报。如果要挽救我们现代的人心呢，必须由信因果哦，注重因果这个地方下手。
And the third great virtue of Master Yin Guang is that he promotes and really focused on the law of cause and effect, and preached that the law of cause and effect always applies. In order to save the country, save people, you have to observe such application of such law, and the wholesome people, wholesome deeds will reap wholesome results, unwholesome deeds will lead to unwholesome results. So we have to observe the law of cause effect.
那第四项呢，是专心念佛。印光大师精通通宗通教哦，但是他修习法门就是专一的念佛法门。他的在家弟子们大部分都是很多啦，很多都是曾受过高等教育的及留学欧美的人，但是他绝不跟他们谈高深的佛法，他就只有劝他们专心念佛。
And even though Master Yin Guang was really knowledgeable about a lot of methods in Buddhism, he only focused on recitation of Buddha's name single-mindedly, and also teach others, including his lay practitioners, this method, even though a lot of his lay practitioners received a higher education or even had overseas education background. No matter how well educated they are, Master Yin Guang always asked them or advised them to just chant Buddha's names.
我这边小小提到一个这个有关于因果的故事哦，就是提到的哈，他说 喜欢读书的印光大师呢，对文字相当敬重，所以他用一个清朝末年一个江南才子冯梦华的故事呢，来提醒一位从医的弟子，写字的时候要保持字体的端正，才不会误人误己。这因果故事是什么呢？就是这位冯梦华才子呢，他写了一手好字，更是勤政爱民的好官。每次到了水灾的时候，他一定到现场去灾区探视哦，给予百姓应得的补助，还有修缮水利设备，让百姓免受水患之苦。那你们听到这样子，他是不是做了很多好事，勤政爱民的好官？可是呢，他的家庭发生什么事情？他的儿子、孙子，他过继的孙子都相继去世了，只剩下什么？一个年幼的外孙。然后他的家族当中就有四五位是寡妇。那为什么会是这样呢？你们觉得嘞？
So, here there's a story to illustrate how important, the law of cause and effect is. Master Yin Guang, in his, Master Yin Guang advised his, disciple who was a doctor and practicing doctor that, you should, write clearly and legibly, because, there was a story about, a person named Feng Menghua, who lived in the end of the Qing Dynasty. That person, Feng Menghua, had a write good calligraphy, and also was a government official. So whenever there was disaster or flooding or flood, he would go to the place and perform disaster relief himself and saved a lot of people from sufferings. So he did a lot of good deeds, and he should, you know, according to the law of cause effect, he should reap a lot of good results. But weirdly, his descendants, his grandsons all died before him, and only left among his descendants, there was only one grandson left. And within his extended family, there were about four or five widows. So why was that? What happened?Do you know why?
然后印光大师呢就告诉他的弟子，他说呢，因为冯梦华常在写信的时候呢不用心，他写的龙飞凤舞，整篇看起来的字可以辨识的字不多，然后读信的人只好边看边猜嘛，对不对？因为他写了一手好好的草书草体字，所以呢边看边猜会不会会错意啊？会错意，所以他才会做得到这样果报。所以他提醒这位从医的弟子，字迹绝对不可以潦草，万一人家抓药的时候抓错药，然后闹出人命，那怎么办呢？所以他非常提醒这一点。
That was because that person, Feng Menghua, he wrote cursive writing really well. So all he did was cursive writing to the point that it became illegible.So when people receive his letters or instructions, they can only half read and half understand his meanings by guessing. So sometimes people guess wrong and, you know, it would lead to unintended results. That's why in the end, he received such a retribution. So Master Yin Guang used this story to tell his disciple who practiced the medicine thatHe needs to pay attention when he writes and make sure his writing is legible, so no one is going to get the wrong medicine and lead to the bad results.
现在应该不会有什么问题了，现在大家用电脑。
Now we don't need to worry about this issue because we all use typing, use a computer, no handwriting.
但是如果我们有机会呢，还可以用写字的话呢，字要端正。那写字端正呢，也是让我们练习再一次做好一件事情，这也可以练习嘛，哈，写字要端正。好，接下来呢，我们要进入这个。
Yeah, even though we don't get much chance to write anymore, but if we ever had a chance to handwrite something, we should make sure we write legibly, and that's also a good practice of just doing one thing at one time.
好，接下来我们要看那个文超集的精华录里面呢有几篇我截录出来的有几篇哈，跟大家分享一下，就是说在念佛的恳词序里面，他印光大师讲什么呢？他说一切的法门都必须要依照戒定慧的修行的功力哦，才能够断贪嗔痴的烦恼跟困惑哦，跟疑惑。那如果到了我们的定慧功力很深的话呢，我们的烦恼跟疑惑都断尽了，才有了生死的份。
So, next I'll share a few essential writings by Master Yin Guang. One of them is from the praise of the Pure Land and the encouragement on Chan Buddha's name. In his writings, he said, all Buddhist doors or methods really rely on the power of precepts, samadhi, and wisdom, and to eradicate the greed, hatred, and ignorance, and all vexations. If the practice power of samadhi and wisdom is deep enough, you will be able to eradicate all the vexations and purify your mind. Only at that time, you will have a chance to escape from the cycle of birth and death.
他说呢，如果我们的烦恼或疑惑断，那你没有尽断，没有结束这个哈。任你有大智慧、大辩才、大神通，能知道过去、现在、未来，然后要去哪里就去哪里，也不能了生死。为什么呢？他说呢，他说烦恼断哦，烦恼断，但是没有断尽。我们说等于说，他是这样讲哈。那如果我们一般的凡夫都还没有断烦恼，如果他是说以仗着自力了生死的难，真是难如登天呐。但是如果依念佛法门发生信哦，生信发愿念佛圣号，求生西方，不管是出家在家。不管是男女老幼，只要你愿意修行，仗阿弥陀佛的慈悲愿力，待业往生。一旦往生了，就能够定慧不期得，不用预期得到它，就能得到了。烦恼不期待它断，也自然断。然后你在弥陀那边，就可以亲见弥陀的诸大圣众，然后游泳于金地宝池。他说仗此圣缘支撑道业，即使是待业往生者，能够直登不退哦，不退转，断惑往生者速证无生哦，无生法门，就是仗着阿弥陀佛大慈悲愿力哦。所以我们信念念佛之力，感应道交，做这个得到这么大的利益，跟比这个自利哦，自利的人他的难易天地的差别。他是在讲自力修自力法门的跟修他力法门的之间最大的不同地方，他这印光大师这边指出来哦。
So, he continued, says, even though one practice precepts, samadhi, wisdom to a certain point, that he was able to eradicate, vexations to a certain degree, but not entirely.Even though that person may have great wisdom, great talents, and supernatural abilities, and that person was able to know the past and the futures, and can go any place that he wants to go, that is still not the ultimate goal, because that person still cannot escape from the cycle of birth and death. So if that practitioner just want to rely on his own self-power to escapeThe cycle of birth death, it is truly very difficult, just like you want to fly into the sky, as difficult as like that. So, but In contrast, if you use the chanting Buddha's name method and rely on Amitabha Buddha's power and generate great faith and give rise to great vows, chant Amitabha Buddha's name and wholeheartedly, sincerely give the vows to go to the Western Pure Land. No matter whether you're a layperson or monks, whether you, no matter what profession you're engaged in, whether you're elderly or young, male or female, no matter whether you're rich or poor, as long as you can chant, you're willing to chant Buddha's names, you can rely on Amitabha Buddha's vow power and go to the Western Pure Land with your own, with your karma. And once you're able to reborn in the Western Pure Land, you will gradually achieve the certain level of wisdom and samadhi naturally without expectation, and you will be able to eradicate all vexations and subtle vexations altogether. And when you will be joining the assembly of Amitabha Buddha, and at that time you will be able to reach the state of non-regression. And if you are at that point, you already cut off all vexations, you will be able to achieve the state of non-arising. So all these benefits are really generated or relied upon by Amitabha Buddha's great vows. So here, Master Yingguang was comparing the difference of practice of practice by self-power and the practice by other powers.
然后我们这边哦，要来讲一下哦，为什么印光大师在讲自利跟他利的差别在哪里哦？它不同处在什么地方？它是什么依据呢？他说呢，莲宗四祖啊，就是净土宗的第四代祖师哦，叫法照大师呢，他在大历二年，就是唐代宗，就是西元767年，他去衡州的云峰寺哦，在住在那里的时候，常常在他的吃饭不是用钵吗？好，出家用钵，那个钵碗中看见奇妙的现象，就他们说圣境。圣境是什么圣境？他常常看到一座山哦，他不知道什么山，然后有人去过五台，就说哦，那是五台山，所以他就去了五台山哦。他在大历五年，过了三年，他到五台县，五台山的在五台县里面嘛，好、哦，是吗？
我没去过五台县，
我没去过。好，这里就写他到了五台县哦，就遥远的很远的地方就看到白色的光，他就依照这个光就走到那个光的地方哦，到了大圣的竹林寺呢，那个法照大师呢就进到这个竹林寺里面，就到了讲堂，就看到了文殊菩萨、哦、不是后面那个文殊哦，是看到那个文殊菩萨在西边，然后普贤菩萨在东边，两位大菩萨坐在狮子座上面，他开始说生妙法，然后这个法照大师呢就理了两位圣者，他就问说，末代的凡夫啊，离开就是离佛寺很远啊，去圣遥远，就跟佛寺的时候这么遥远，然后知识转列，就是这个善根不深厚，然后尤其业障深重，然后垢障尤深啊，佛性无法显现，那佛法浩瀚无边，不知道怎么样修行，哪一种法门最为重要，然后请求大圣为我解释，让我以往就是为我来解答。
So here Master Yingguang talked about the differences between practice purely relying on one's own power, self-power, and a practice is relying on not only one's own power, but also other powers, such as Amitabha's vow power. He also give us a story about the fourth patriarch of the Pure Land School, Master Fa Zhao. So in the year of 767, that was during the Tang Dynasty, Master Fa Zhao often saw wondrous scene in his bowl, that there was a mountain appeared in the bowl. So he asked what the mountain is. And some people have been to Mount Wutai, told him that it was Mountain Wutai. So he went there and see there was a great light, white great light there. So he followed the light and entered to the temple of Da Shen, a bamboo temple. When he went there, he saw that great Bodhisattva Manjushri seated in the west, and great Bodhisattva Samantabhadra seated in the east, and they both of them were preaching dhammas, wondrous dhammas. So Master Fa Zhao prostrated to two great bodhisattvas and asked, in the dhamma ending era, practitioners were not able to get so close to great bodhisattvas because the time would be so far away. How can they practice, especially when they have very low capacities and the obstacles and obstructions become more and more? And how can they practice being able to advance, to make progress? And
那文殊师利菩萨呢就回答说，你现在就要念佛，正是时候。然后说。 种种的修行法门，莫过于念佛，还有供养三宝，就是福慧双修。由念佛跟供养三宝这两个法门是最为，就是主要的途径。为什么呢？文殊师利菩萨就说：“我在过去世呢，因为观佛、因为念佛、因为供养佛三种哦，所以现在得一切种子。” 所以知道说念佛是诸法之王，所以你应该常念无上法王，不要间断哦。命中之后决定往生，永不退转。So
Master Ingua asked the Master Fa Zhao asked the question. Then Great Bodhisattva Manjushri answered, saying, "Well, you should." Use the chanting method, chanting Buddha's names method, and this is a great time to do that. Because among all the methods of practice, chanting Buddha's name, recitation of Buddha's name, and make offerings to the three jewels are the best practice among all, because you cultivate blessings and wisdom at the same time. And why do I say that? Because in my past lifetimes, precisely because I use this chanting method and observe all the Buddha's images, I was able to obtain all the wisdom. So I know that recitation of Buddha's name is the king of all the methods. So you should really practice this method without any interruption. Then when you about to leave this world, you will be able to go to the Western Pure Land.
然后呢，这两位大师呢，讲完之后呢，就书就是书那个他们手是金色的，磨这个法照大师的头顶，就为法照大师授记。他说：“你因为念佛的缘故呢，不久就证无上正等菩提。”所以这时候呢，讲完之后呢，两位圣者呢就互相说偈颂，然后说完偈颂之后，法照大师听了就踊跃欢喜哦，就。
So at that time, after Manjushri said that, both Bodhisattva Manjushri and Bodhisattva Samantabhadra held out their the golden hands to touch the crown of Master Fa Zhao to empower him, and Master Fa Zhao was very joyful, and at that point he eradicate all the subtle doubts about anything, about the wisdom, about practice, and saying that he will reach equal enlightenment soon.
然后印光大师讲什么呢？他说呢，诸佛呢都是从念佛而生的，过去诸佛都在念佛了，那何况是我们末法的众生呢？障生福轻，障生慧浅，然后藐视念佛而不肯修，想要一下子就一抄呢，就直到如来的境界哦。那这样子的话，就是跟这个五祖戒曹长卿的步入他们的后尘。那什么叫做五祖戒草堂青呢？待会我们就来讲什么叫五祖戒草堂青。
So using this story, Master Yin Guang told us that just like all past Buddhas, they attain Buddhahood by chanting Buddha's name, let alone all the ordinary sentient beings in the Dharma ending era. Compared to Buddhas, we have our obstructions are more and our blessings are less. And if we look down upon the chanting method as too simple, not good enough for me, and not willing to practice wholeheartedly and want to directly enter into the Tathagata Gabra, Tathagata, it is impossible. It is, and you will be you will be making the same mistakes as a person called Wu Zu Jie. So, and who is Wu Zu Jie? I'll tell you the story.
宋代呢，有一位禅师哦，你称家叫后代人称他五祖戒，他其实是师戒禅师哦，师戒禅师，他住在五祖寺，所以我们称他为五祖戒哦。他呢？五祖戒他当时呢是大彻大悟的一个大禅师哦，名震海内哦。
So, the person, 五祖戒 was actually is a monk, is a master, because he, 五祖 was the name referred to the temple he stayed in. His name was Venerable 师戒. So, a master 师戒 was a monk, practiced in the temple of 五祖, and at his time, he was viewed as already achieved enlightenment.
那我们会讲三位禅师哦，是五祖戒、草堂青跟真如吉哦。那我们先讲五祖戒哦。五祖戒呢，他的后身是为苏东坡。大家认识苏东坡吗？你看，然后呢，苏东坡呢，聪明盖世呢，不拘小节，然后妓馆、淫房啊，也常常出入。所以我们在说这里哦，印光大师指出来说。五祖戒生前哦，就是说苏东坡的前身是五祖戒，他悟处虽高，但是呢，他尚未证得出果，没有证得出果的时候呢，以出果得到道共戒，任运不犯，任运就是你自然怎么样都不会犯戒。然后他这里未证到出果者，要常常觉照，才不可以犯戒。所以出果自然而然不犯戒，就像耕地一样哦。你要耕地之前从就离开你四寸哦，道力使然。那如果你不出家也是可以娶妻，但是如果你用你的生命威胁你，令你行邪淫的话，宁可舍命不肯依从，就是他持戒到出国这个地方的时候，他持戒如此的严谨哦，所以这是他讲的。然后苏东坡呢，既然曾出入营房啊，就知道说他这里是用推理的，他说五祖戒尚未得到出国之道力，还说什么了生死乎？他就说大彻大悟的人，尚未证得出国就。没有办法了生死，他是这样子讲的哈。
So there are actually mentioned three monks. First one is called Wu Zujie, the second is Cao Tangqing, the last one is called Zhen Ru. So first of all, tell you the story about Wu Zujie. So Wu Zujie, as like I mentioned, it was referring to the venerable Jie Shi Jie, venerable Shi Jie in the Wu Zu temple. After he passed away, he was reborn as a famous person in Song Dynasty. That was in Chinese history very famous. The great poet, a great literature, and the government officials called Su Dongpo. So Master Yingguang is saying, telling from Su Dongpo's life story, you could tell that venerable Shi Jie did not attain first booming stage, even though he had great enlightenment experience. Because you can see from the historical record, Su Dongpo used to enter and go often visit prostitute place. And if because Su Dongpo's previous lifetime was a venerable Shi Jie, if Venerable Shi Jie had already reached the first bumi, he wouldn't violate the precepts. He would be able to observe all precepts without exercising any effort. But from Su Dongpo's conduct, you could tell he hadn't reached that point yet. Because if he hadn't reached the first bumi, he would violate precepts without exercising observation.
这个资料呢，是从印光大师写给广慧和尚的书信里面截录出来的哈。如果菩萨们有机会或有因缘有兴趣呢，如果想要去多了解一点，可以在网络上查看啊。然后这里呢，还有讲到那个真如集。那我们讲谁是真如集呢？这真如集也是一个相当有修正的一个禅师哦。他说呢，在宋钦宗哦，在宋我们说宋徽宗时代，不是金国入侵吗？然后宋徽宗禅让给皇帝给钦宗哦，结果呢？他们两位皇帝呢就被金兵掳，就是抓去哦，像到金国，像金国的国王称臣哦，然后死于五国城。这个真如吉的后生，我们说他是谁？这里他写生大富贵处哦，是指谁？就是指宋钦宗，好、哦，宋钦宗，印光大师在这个书信上是这么写的，他说呢，以他过去生这么修正，可是隔一生呢，那未断惑，他的疑惑未全断尽之后，他就大富大贵，生了大富贵大贵之后，结果呢也是虚名，这样的富贵也是虚名，一生多受忧苦，对不对？也是很苦，所以这个他说他的意思就是让我们说。要一心念佛，待业往生。
So this story told by Master Yingguang was from his letter to Venerable Guang Hui, and collected in his writings. So if any of you are interested in reading further, you could find such letter to read. And another person mentioned in his letter was Venerable Zhen Ru. So Venerable Zhen Ru was also a monk, but had great enlightenment experience. But after he passed away, because he hasn't been able to eradicate all his subtle doubts, he was reborn actually as one of the emperor in Chinese history during the Song Dynasty. And even though he had such a high birth in an emperor family, he went through a lot of hardship and difficulties and still didn't achieve anything. So that that story also goes to show that even though your previous lives already is a high monk, has great enlightenment experience, if you haven't reached the first Bumi stage, or you haven't eradicated all subtle doubts, you won't know what's going to happen in your next lifetime. You could regress, basically.
好，那我们来讲草堂青的典故是什么？草堂青呢，他也是过生前哦，生前也是一个得道高僧哦，但是他的后生做什么呢？做了一个50岁的宰相哦，我们把他分为鲁，就是被封为鲁国的宰相哦。可是那时候呢，他离佛法已经很远了，还没有苏东坡这么学佛这么通畅哦。
And the last person mentioned in the letter, as an example, of, you know, if you don't practice to the point, to the last end, you will still regress. That was a person named Cao Tangqing. So Cao Tangqing was a high monk, have great enlightenment experience. But after he passed away, he was reborn as a prime minister and he lived up to 50 years old and his practice of Buddhism was even worse than Su Zhongpo.
那我们这边这个印光大师甚至还提到一个海印信哦，也是宋代的宗门大佬哦。那时候呢，他常常受到一个朱家朱房玉，就是一个朱武官的一个武官的家的供养。有一天呢，朱家的人呢，见到这个信老人，就是这个海印信哦，进入到内室啊，进入他这个朱家的内室，这时候就生了那个夫人，就生了一个女孩子，生了一个女儿，然后就他们朱家人就命人去海印寺探望，结果呢，就看到这个信老哦，这个信老在生女的时候就圆寂了，哇！这一下全杭州的人老百姓都知道怎么回事了。到了满月的时候呢，那个信老呢有一位很好的好朋友叫圆照本禅师呢，他就去了这个朱武官的家，叫朱房玉嘛，朱房玉是一个武官的名字，就把他女儿抱起来，就这个女儿看到这个圆照法师呢，圆照禅师就笑了，他笑了之后呢，圆照就告诉他说，信老啊，他讲信长老错了吧。然后这个女孩子，这个小女儿哦，一听到马上悲痛而绝，就是当场就往生了。然后死后虽死了，还要受生，但是又不知道生到何处，就是印光大师在上面文字上面写了一段叙述。
So another rebirth story told by Master Yin Guang was there was a monk called Hai Yin Xin, and he also practiced very well religiously, and he also received a lot of offerings by a family called Zhu family. One time that Zhu family gave birth to a daughter. And at the same time, that monk passed away. So people all know what happened was, you know, that monk, because he received so much offering from this family, he actually reborn as the daughter of that family. And when the baby reached the 1 month old, that monk's friend, used to be all-time good friend, went to that family and hold the daughter, and the daughter smiled at him. So the friend called out the venerable's name, and the baby daughter heard, and suddenly became very sad and cried, and immediately passed away at that point. So we don't know in the end where that venerable reborn again.
然后呢，印光大师呢，他举了这四位禅师的例子，他说呢，这四位禅师的功夫之高，尚不能了生死，而转为大文豪、为宰相，或为皇帝，都远不如他的前身了。 他说呢，这是印老的见解。他说，参禅的人以宗门自虚啊，以宗门就是以参禅为最主要的修行法门，就是以为这是最好的，不肯仗着佛力来了生死。如果呢这一念就这样结束了，你能还不能自了，这生死还不能了，那仗自力跟仗佛力的相差非常的远。所以如果我们专修净业的话，以期待齁，希望我们现身就能了脱为生死的话，那这样子就是希望我们这一生就是以念佛为依归嘛齁。指出宋代大名鼎鼎的宗将，来生上退步于前生，再来生又不知道该怎么。
So, Master Yin Guang used these four stories, stories about the four monks. After they passed away, they reborn, even getting worse and worse, to tell us that how different it is to rely on one's own power and then compared to rely on Amitabha Buddha's power. Because as diligent or as good practice as those four Chan masters or monks, they were not able to get a favorable rebirth, even though they rebirth as emperor, the prime minister, a great scholar, or a wealthy family's daughter. Compared to their previous lives, they were getting worse from the practice point of view. So Master Yin Guang was using those examples to admonish Chan practitioners who only emphasize Chan practice and were not willing to rely on Amitabha Buddha's power.
然后印光大师呢，为什么这么信愿坚定的说要用念佛来超生哦，了脱生死呢？他说呢，念佛法门是律教禅密诸宗的归宿，人天凡圣成佛的捷径。一切的法门都是从没有不从此法界流，就是不从念佛而来的齁。一切行门都不无不归此法界。所以它不是只有渔夫的法门。好，然后呢他又讲说，他举了什么华严会上。华严会上善财童子啊，善财童子去什么，他不是参访吗？他到了实信，善财童子呢到了实信的后信的时候，受到文殊菩萨的教导，他就遍访忏知寺，然后他每一个地方去参访的时候，他就闻到一个法门的时候，立即证到那个法门。之后呢，他最后走到哪里，参访到普贤菩萨所的时候呢，就请普贤菩萨怎么样开示加倍哦。那他所证的呢，与普贤等与诸佛等哦，这是这个资料这么写的。然后普贤呢，为了称赞如来圣妙功德呢，就叫这个善财童子呢发十大愿。你知道什么叫十大愿王吗？普贤十大愿每天早课都有念齁。然后以此功德回向往生西方极乐世界，然后以其圆满佛果，并劝进齁华藏世界海诸菩萨一致进行求生西方。所以那时候的华藏海众呢，没有一个是凡夫二圣，或是还没有破无明的权位菩萨齁，最下的人也都是原教的初住，都知道初住的位置。其这时候原教初住的时候呢，他说其人已能于没有佛的世界能够现身作佛，或是随类现种种身来度脱众生齁。所以到了什么十住啊，十行十回向十地等觉，位位被胜齁。所以这些菩萨呢，都是以十大愿王求生净土。哦，这些华严的诸大菩萨们都是以十大愿王求生西方哦。那他 说我们是什么人啊？可以跟这些圣位菩萨相比啊？所以呢，就是知道说，知道念佛法门就是十方三世一切诸佛上乘佛道，下化众生，成为成始成终为总持的法门，对九界同归，十方共赞。各个经论都是在阐述哦，这个以国就是以国地觉因地心来得到什么？得因得该果海哦，所以就叫果测因缘。
So, Master Ying Guang really praised the recitation of Buddha's name method and believed that's the supreme way or the best way of all practice, no matter whether you practice dhyana or focus on the treaty studies or practice Chan or practice other methods. It all comes down to this one way, that is chanting Buddha's name. And this is also the shortcut for attaining the Buddhahood, the saint stage, or even just for celestial blessings. So all Dharma doors started from this method and all come down to this method. And this is actually is praised and mentioned in the Avatamsaka Sutra, that when the person visited all great bodhisattvas, the Manjushri Bodhisattva taught the person called Shen Tai to visit all good knowing advisors and learn from them. And in the end, when he gets to the Samantabhadra Bodhisattva's place, Samantabhadra taught him the 10 great vows and how to generate 10 great vows and also dedicate this merit to be reborn in the Western Pure Land. So in the end, you will attain the Supreme Buddhahood. So just like mentioned in the sutra, all great bodhisattvas rely on the power of reciting Buddha's name to achieve great enlightenment and all the stages of enlightenment. And they, using the power of 10 vows to go to the Western Pure Land, even great bodhisattvas do that. And compared to them, we are just ordinary sentient beings. How could we compare our power? How could we achieve that Buddhahood without recitation of Buddha's name or rely on Buddha's powers? So we know that recitation of Buddha's name is really a superior way, and upwardly can achieve Buddhahood and downwardly can deliver all sentient beings. So that's why Master Ying Guang really promotes and praises this method.
好，那我们今天时间的关系，我们大概时间就到这边。然后在最后呢，介绍一下印光大师他所提倡的修行方法。第一个，他叫我们摄心念佛。这个摄心念佛大家就比较清楚，就是说你在念的时候呢，应该要不管你是出声念或是默念，都要从心起。然后你出声念的话，声音要从口出，音要从耳入，就是声口意哈，都要很清清楚楚的。
So we briefly talked about the method of chanting Buddha's name. First, you need to collect your thoughts, collect your mind, and the sound was originated by the mind, and then came out from your mouth and heard by your ear clearly.
那第二个是十念计数，就是从念佛的时候，从一句到十句，念一到十，要念得分明，也记得分明，用心记，而不是用念珠记，它也不可能超过十。
And the second method is to count 10 times of chant Bodhisattva's name, Buddha's name. You have to count by mind, cannot use praying beads to help.
那如果你觉得十句话很难记的话呢，这种可以切一半，一到五，或者五到十，或者切三部分，从一到三，四到六，七到十，做三口气念。
But if you find it is hard to count one to ten, you know, by mind, one time, you can break down to two times or three times.
所以我们念得清楚，记得清楚，听得清楚，妄念呢就没有无处着脚，一心不乱。你久了就会怎么到，就会怎么一心不乱嘛，吼。
So if you chant clearly, hear the sound clearly, and your mind is focused on that, then there's no chance for vexations or wandering thoughts to arise.
那他的贡献跟影响我们真没时间讲。那我们今天呢，这个印光大师让我们学习到什么呢？他的精神什么？老实修行。好，这个就是希望我们大家一起能够做这件事，一生做好一件事情，就是老实修行。大家都来了嘛，吼。
So unfortunately, we don't have time to address his influence and contributions to Chinese Buddhism. But the takeaway point from this talk is just Master Yin Guang told us that we should practice with earnestness, sincerity, wholeheartedly.
然后最后呢，一张什么？印光大师的一个念佛，那我们大家念一下哈，念佛方能消宿业。结成自可转凡心。
So this is a picture of Master Yin Guang, and the Chinese characters basically says, chanting Buddha's name can help reduce your karmic obstructions, and if you chant sincerely, you will turn to saints from ordinary sentient being.
那这是那个分享印光大师的一个资料呢，它来源都是从中国近代佛教史是。是东初住啊，东初老人住的，跟印光大师文钞精华录，还有人生杂志里面摘录出来的。如果还有一个网络的资料，就是自广慧和尚书。如果菩萨们有兴趣的，想要多了解一点，可以在网络上自行去找资料来研读。谢谢。
So the source for this today's talk all come from the book written by Master Dong Chu, and also the Life Magazine, Humanity Magazine, and other materials. If you're interested, you can Google online and get to know more about Master Yin Guang.
好，谢谢今天的英光大师分享都到这个地方啊，希望大家希望我们一起来学习老实修行这件事情，祝福大家早日成佛，阿弥陀佛。
Thank you for coming and just practice.